Penguin Random House Audio presents The Nicotine Chronicles, edited by Lee Child. Read for you by Jason Culp, Rebecca Lohman, Amy Landon, Robert Fass, Matt Godfrey, Frankie Corzo, Lisa Flanagan, Henry Leva, Prentice Onayemi, and McLeod Andrews.
Introduction. A faulty delivery system. Food scientists have discovered a complex compound naturally present in, among other things, potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. The compound offers us a number of benefits. It improves our fine motor skills, it increases our attention spans, it improves our cognitive abilities, it improves our long and short-term memories, it lessens depression, it delays and possibly even prevents Alzheimer's, and it decreases the risk of Parkinson's. In and of itself, it has no real downside. It's called nicotine. We should all get some. The problem is the delivery system. To get a detectable benefit, you would have to eat enormous quantities of vegetables, and who wants to do that? The most efficient way is to burn dried tobacco leaves and inhale the smoke. 10 seconds later, the compound is in your brain, doing good in all its various ways. Unfortunately, the rest of the smoke doesn't do good. And therein lies a great mystery of human behavior. To get the good, we risk the bad. Or we prohibit ourselves the good for fear of the bad. Which approach makes more sense? The stories in this book explore the issues around that dilemma. They come at it from every angle and illuminate it in every way. I'm deeply grateful to all of the contributors, and I'll be deeply grateful to every listener, and to Akashic Books, our publisher. I have contributed to several of Akashic's anthologies, although never before as editor, including the Cocaine Chronicles and the Marijuana Chronicles. For those, I expected and received no negative reaction at all. I suspect the Nicotine Chronicles might be different. Another mystery of human behavior. Lee Child, New York City, February 2020.
Part 1. Thank you for not smoking.
Park and Play by Hannah Tinty. The rooms at the Park and Play Motel are labeled non-smoking, but the guests smoke in them anyway. My boss Shirley fought this for a while, but eventually gave up and put an old cigarette machine outside the office. The customer puts in the money, yanks a glass knob below the brand they want, and a cellophane-wrapped box drops down into the collection tray, along with a tiny book of matches. I bought a pack once, but it wasn't for me. There's enough smoke in my life already. Sometimes people use the ashtrays we put in the rooms, and sometimes they use the plastic cups from the bathroom, or crush the ends of their filters into the side tables, or flick their embers onto the carpet. It's my job to patch the holes. Knock, knock, open the door, wipe the sink, scrub the tub, replace the linens, spray some air freshener, run the vacuum, lock the door, move on to the next. When I find burns in the sheets or towels, I cut them into rags. Burns in the wall-to-wall carpet I fix with glue and some fibers snipped from the corners. Furniture burns I paint over with a nail polish color called espresso that I keep in the pocket of my apron. The woman in room 207 has a black eye and bruises on her neck and checks out of the motel early. She says she is an airline stewardess and that she's driving to Phoenix to see her sister, but she doesn't have any luggage in her trunk. Later, when I clean her room, I find where she's pressed her menthol cigarette into the wood over and over until the burns become an etching of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, a series of connected circles angling up the side of the window frame. There are 8 floors, including the bell chamber. I recognize the image from my father's postcard collection. I wonder if she's seen the building in person or just in pictures like me. Most people don't tip at the Park and Play. But the woman in 207 leaves $5 on the windowsill beneath the drawing as if she is apologizing for the mess. After the nail polish dries, I can still feel the bumps of the Tower of Pisa with my fingers. It makes me think of something my father said once, about how we leave a bit of ourselves every place we go. Skin cells, traces, human dust. That's why famous buildings are famous, he said. So many people pass through over the years, shedding parts of themselves, that the buildings start to breathe on their own. It makes the memories there more powerful, because the buildings are remembering too. The Park and Play Motel is 2 miles from the Chickasaw Indian Reservation and 3 miles from their casino. There are 28 rooms. Shirley is half Chickasaw and has owned the Park and Play for 10 years, supporting her husband, who lost both of his legs in Iraq. I started cleaning on the weekends during high school and then went full-time after my father got sick. The motel is nearly always full of gamblers looking for a cheaper place to stay than the casino, which is a high-end establishment with a theater and a hotel. My high school had their senior prom in the hotel ballroom. I didn't go because my father was in the hospital by then, and we couldn't afford the tickets. Pastor Billy brought me a corsage anyway, white roses in a clear plastic box, and I wore it on my wrist as I held my father's hand, and all of the machines stopped blinking. In the mornings, I make coffee and put out the Park and Play continental breakfast, which is a bowl of apples and a box of blueberry muffins. Then I get my rolling cart and start pushing. I fill up on sheets and towels and follow the concrete path from room to room. I knock on doors. Housekeeping. I knock again. Housekeeping. Always twice before I put the key in the lock. You never know what you might walk in on. I see sleepers sleeping in all kinds of ways. I see families sharing fast food dinners. I see sex workers entertaining customers. I see kids left alone all night. I see mattresses overturned. I see old men weeping. I see bathtubs full of clothes. I see strangers hiding things under covers. I see tinfoil and pipes and spoons and bags of powder. I see people lying in pools of their own making. I see folks so sick they should go to the hospital. I see carpets turned into dark, fetid, squishy lakes. I see every kind of naked person doing every kind of naked thing. I see truckers burned red down one whole side of their arms and face from driving with the window open across the country. And I want to ask them, where are you going? And sometimes I do. Sometimes when I'm tired, I lean back on the pillows of someone else's bed and close my eyes and think of Pastor Billy's hand on my forehead, the sweat of his palm making its way into my hair. His skin smells like Marlboro Lights, the same brand my father smoked. Pastor Billy is busy trying to expand his church, but he stays after service on Sundays to talk. I tell him I feel empty inside, and he tells me, "The Lord will send you comfort." I am still waiting for it to come. When I talk about Pastor Billy, my boss Shirley rolls her eyes. She doesn't go to church anymore. She says she doesn't trust white men. I tell her that I pray for her, and she tells me that's my choice, and like her, I'll regret many of them in this life. After my father died, she let me move into one of the rooms at the motel. She says it's temporary, and she'll take the rent out of my salary. But I've been here for a year, and my paycheck hasn't changed. Before he got cancer, my father was a janitor at a strip mall. I'd go with him after hours and sit at one of the tables by the Chinese food place and eat scallion pancakes and do my homework while he worked. The owners of the Golden Dragon had a little shrine just inside the entryway where they'd burn incense and put out oranges. It was the closest thing our town had to something foreign. But next door was a travel agency, and when my father took out their trash, he'd comb through for maps and pictures of faraway places. Then he'd bring the outdated brochures and travel guides home and cut them out and paste them into a scrapbook, and together we'd make up stories of our vacations there. Remember when we went to Rome, he'd say. All that pasta we ate. And how hot it was at the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?